Hello and welcome to this episode of The Chuckle Brothers Guide to Science, moronic subpar guide that's light on fact and detail but high on light on fact and detail but high on inanity. Inanity?
Yeah.
Inanity?
Inanity.
That is a one-star review. Wow, we got
what an accurate description.
It's a one-star review, but it perfectly describes us. So before we start the show, we've got a live show happening today.
We do.
I'm Covent Garden.
Yes.
Not Covent.
No.
Covent Garden. At the Pride in London pop-up shop. Tickets should still be available. And even if they're not, we'll probably be hanging around for a bit afterwards. So drop by and meet us.
Come by, say hi.
Starts at 6:30 today and ends...
whenever.
At some point later than that.
8 o'clock.
When we want to finish.
When we're done. When we're good and ready.
You can find all the details on our Twitter or our Instagram if you go and find them at SciGuysPod.
Or in the description. I've got a few messages that people have sent
in.
And by a few, I mean I'm just going to read out one of them because there's too many.
So not we're pressed for time.
I'm going to choose Jason Stoddarts. Now he sent three emails.
Three emails?
Yes, I'll read them out to you. The subject line of the first email is a single email and the body is blank.
Thank you very much. We'll take your feedback on board.
The second email, the subject is a second email. And again, the body is blank.
Brilliant.
But third time's the charm, Jason sent a third email saying a third email, except this one has a message.
Oh, thank God.
Was the first listener, I think, to the pod on Apple Podcasts after I saw your advertisement on a board in Manchester. Been listening every week since. Loving your podcast so far. Funny and informative. Keep it up, guys.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you so much, Jason.
Bless.
You know what? I'd really like that, Jason, even if you do need to work on your emailing skills.
It's clogging up our inbox, but we love him anyway.
Please send us another email, Jason, and explain why the first two were blank. We'd love to know.
No, I like a trilogy.
And if you guys want your emails to be read out on the show, send one to SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
That's
SciGuysPod@gmail.com. Start the show, Corey.
Hello and welcome to The Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Jamp and Luke Cutfer.
Bonjour.
Hola.
This week we'll be talking about a broken democracy and the end of the world as we know it.
Oh, you mean England?
I thought you were going to say America.
Well, both.
Both, yeah. This one actually does take place in the UK, though.
Oh,
you were right.
Yay! I did it again.
In 2016, the people of the United Kingdom cast their votes in one of the most important referendums in British history.
Brexit.
Brexit! The outcome of this poll shook the nation, and the discourse is still raging 3 years later. This, of course,
nothing's been done about it.
Is the story of Boaty McBoatface.
Here we go.
Yeah.
The true democracy.
Genuinely, I love the story of Boaty McBoatface.
Yes.
Do you guys know the story of Boaty McBoatface?
So yeah, they were having to name a new vessel in the Arctic.
Yes.
And they all took a vote about what the name should be, right?
And Boaty McBoatface was, I think it was suggested by a radio host.
Yeah, so in 2016, the Natural Environment Research Council were christening a new research vessel. That was going to go to the... It was an Arctic research vessel. And yeah, a radio host jokingly said, yeah, let's call it Boaty McBoatface, which is not the one that he voted for, by the way.
Oh.
He voted for something else.
And it did win. Boaty McBoatface won, but then this boring science research group went, no, we're going to call it the Sir David Attenborough. They called the little... rescue vessel
Underwater vessel, yeah.
So that one's called Boaty McBoatface, but not as fun.
That's a cop out.
But it wasn't
just
it wasn't just that scientific group. There was massive discourse on this. People were arguing about it.
I remember.
In terms of the votes, Boaty McBoatface won. An absolute landslide. So the RSS David Attenborough got 10,000 votes, give or take. It's Bloody Cold Here got another 10,000 votes. Henry Worsley got 15,000. And the second place, Poppy May, or Poppy Mai, which is the name of a girl that had a terminal illness, got 34,000. Whereas Boaty McBoatface had 124,109 votes.
So this is dreadful because they set up a vote And then even something like Poppy's one that genuinely won and wasn't silly, they just ignored it.
I don't think Porty McPortface is silly.
So Sir David Attenborough became like fourth or fifth, didn't it?
Fifth.
Yeah. Yeah.
There we go.
And they went, let's call it that.
Oh, well, rubbish. We don't like first place. Don't let's choose the fifth then. One.
I mean, if you're overthrowing democracy, I think it doesn't really matter which one you choose.
Like, you talk about how this is a big deal and there was discord. Like, I don't really care. You held a vote. Respect the vote.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. Democracy simply doesn't work.
Well, then don't have a vote. No one made you have a vote.
I love it.
God's sake.
Corey didn't throw the vote.
Genuinely, there were people in the British government that were concerned about calling it Boaty McBoatface. Because of how it would look, because it was such a big research vessel, it was a massive undertaking. It cost about what?
Then don't trust the public to vote responsibly.
£200 million, I think.
Blimey.
Or maybe, yeah, but £200 million it cost, so they didn't really want to just piss it away on Boaty McBoatface.
Did they do anything with Poppy, the terminal?
It's still the same boat, regardless of what it's called.
I don't think so, no.
And now she's just dead.
So, yeah, as Lucas said, it was called the RSS or David Attenborough.
Sorry, I take issue with that. I didn't say it, I yelled it.
I apologise. As Luke yelled, it was called the RSS Sir David Attenborough, and the remotely controlled underwater vessel was called Boaty McBoatface.
Total cop-out.
Which irritates me, because it's not a bloody boat.
Yeah,
it's a submarine.
Yes.
Soey McSubface.
Does anyone go in the submarine? It's a remote-controlled one. Yeah. No one can go in it.
No one goes in it.
So it's just basically a torpedo.
It is. It's about the size of a torpedo.
Yeah.
Well, I say that. I don't know how big torpedoes are. It looked about the size of what I'd expect
a torpedo
to be. So it
should be called Torpedo...
Torpedo
Face.
Oh, no!
God.
Torpedo Face. So, I'm gonna... from now on, because I am a firm believer in democracy...
Yeah.
The RSS Sir David Attenborough...
will be referred to as...
Boaty McBoatface.
Yes, and Boaty McBoatface will be named Poppy.
No, Boaty McBoatface Jr. I have it written down.
Ah, okay. I didn't realise it was written down.
If you
want to
play that game, they can both be named Boaty McBoatface.
If you
want to
play that game, I can write it down.
On what?
I don't have a pen.
Oh. You ain't got a pen, right, mate. There. These are my pens.
I can write it on my hand.
So a few stats on Boaty McBoatface Jr.
Fun, so right? You mean the autonomous vessel?
The yeah. autonomous vessel. He can go to 6,000 meters deep.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty deep.
Deeper than James.
He's about 3.62 meters long.
Longer than James.
That's longer than me, yeah.
And he weighs 700 kilograms.
I don't know what's funnier, to say that's more than James or that's less than James.
Stop comparing me to a submarine.
It's not a submarine. It's an autonomous vessel.
Sorry.
Jampy McJampface. His mission range is 2,000 kilometers. I think that means
what?
He can just go...
They can control it from 2,000 kilometers away.
Well, he can go six... Oh, wait, yeah. Oh, I misread that. Yeah, he can go 2,000 kilometers away.
Is it a satellite that controls him then?
I have no idea how they do it. He said basically they control him from the boat. Whether that goes through a satellite or not, but I doubt it is because he goes very deep underwater.
Wow.
So, Boaty McBoatface and his son...
His tiny son.
His tiny little baby
you
son.
Talk to me on my son ever.
Their job is to research climate change. Not by themselves, they have people in them. Well, not
Boaty Jr.
Not Boaty Jr. Big Boaty has people in him, helping him do that. And I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about climate change.
Okay, go ahead.
It's real. If you don't think it's real, you're
that
dumb.
That was a massive
what?
Segue.
What?
It's not a massive segue. This is what Boaty McBoatface does. He researches climate change.
Cool.
That's why we're talking about him today.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought it was
Pay
just
attention,
a boat.
Then, James.
I thought it was just a boat.
I'm so glad.
You thought it was just a boat?
Yeah.
It's a polar research vessel. What do you think it's doing?
Could be researching.
Researching penguins.
Polar bears.
Polar bears. It's a polar bear research vessel. Yeah.
No, that's a research vessel for polar bears. They're
what
in
polar
it,
bears
researching.
Are researching.
Yeah.
Wait, so climate change is real, right? That's the first fact I've learned today.
Oh, look. yeah, so basically, I'm just going to tell you a little bit about climate change because this is for another episode. We're going to do a big episode on climate change at some point, but just a few stats.
When we started making episodes about fictional things, yeah.
Oh.
I don't think climate change is not real.
There's a greater than 95% possibility that it's a result of human activity on the planet. So well, if you're one to hedge your bets on a less than 5% chance...
Where did you get
chance,
that stat, though?
NASA.
Okay, but you don't know NASA's not lying to you.
They lied about lying to, who's not
they
lying
lied
to?
About the moon landings. Dab.
When do we invite Alex Jones on the podcast?
I just like annoying Corey.
You're just sitting here eating grapes, denying climate change.
No, yeah, it's not weird, real.
I've been eating grapes since last week. We're recording two episodes
they're
in one
the
day.
They're the same grapes as well. Oh, they're so disgusting.
Oh, they're so mouldy and awful now, Luke. Luke's been sat in my room since last week. He just won't leave.
No, I have so many grapes. I've been eating them for a week.
So the planet's average surface temperature has risen by 0.9 degrees since the late 19th century.
That's not good.
It's bad.
It's quite bad.
These are just lots of terrible stats. This is what I said when I mean it's the end of the world as we know it. Climate change is killing us.
Good.
It's not good. Do you guys know how you can stop climate change?
It's good if you want to die. Which I think James does sometimes.
There are quicker ways to go about it.
No, I'm in it for the long game.
Is that why you're vegan? You want to stave it off just a little bit?
They've not finished the Avengers series yet, so James is sticking around.
They're never finishing that.
Yeah, so that James sticks around. That's why they're making it.
Yeah, so the 20 warmest years on record have been in the past 22 years.
Every year, all right, I don't know if anyone else has noticed, but on the weather on the TV, every year they go, this is the hottest summer on record.
They say that the planet's dying. Harry Potter 3, I think, as well.
Do they?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a little weatherman who goes, it is hot. Yes, hot, ladies and gentlemen. Something like that.
Yeah, that's about right.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
Cool.
It's the very beginning.
A weird knowledge of the Harry Potter films.
Very intricate knowledge. Word.
It's weird that climate change exists in the Harry Potter universe as well. Wizards can just fix it.
Wait, it's not climate change. It's the Wizarding War, of course. Damn it, Voldemort.
No, that's because the Dementors are making it cold. That's completely unrelated to the Wizarding War.
Maybe they're going extinct.
The Dementors?
Yeah. So there's nothing.
There's nowhere to go from that.
There's nothing cooling us down.
Ah, I see.
Oh, in our world.
So what we need to do is we need to breed more Dementors.
Just get depressed.
Someone call NASA.
I wish we could genetically engineer some Dementors.
Do you know Dementors having sex? Do you know what that causes?
Dementors having sex? Mist.
Mist, yeah.
Mist.
Yeah. When it's a misty place, that's Dementors going at
breeding.
It.
Breeding.
Oh, lovely.
Well, you don't know that they're going at it. They might have a different reproductive system.
They're going at it.
They might just like...
You've seen those mouths. You know what they do.
I was literally about to say, they're the most disgusting mouths ever.
Maybe mist is like Dementor sperm.
Semen, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just in the air. Like a seahorse, like just release its... Wait, no, is it seahorses that release their sperm into the water?
Most aquatic animals do that.
Just release it into the water.
Yeah. A lot of fish just...
That didn't need the noise.
Well, it did, because it's a podcast.
Oh, yeah, true. When Cory masturbates, like...
Let's it just out into the world. Just dust comes out. It's like pollen, like a dandelion blowing on that.
Stop it.
Do you guys know what the top two countries for destroying the planet are?
China.
Yeah.
India. United Kingdom. United States?
Yeah.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, India's got a lot of people, but also...
That was my only logic. I was like, there's loads of people.
Yeah, no, the US is real bad. China and the US make up 40%
Crikey.
Of the world's greenhouse gas emissions.
Crikey.
Yeah.
And they're only like the fifth of the population combined.
Yeah.
That's dreadful.
No, they're making it more than they should. In fact, there's all these rules on how much we're supposed to warm the planet. We've limited it to... like 2 degrees.
Isn't that the Paris Agreement, which Trump's pulled out of?
Yeah.
So he doesn't have those rules.
Mm-mm. But we're trying to. We limited it to 1.5 because 2 degrees is so much worse.
Yeah.
And no one's making two. That's the thing as well. No one's actually reaching these goals.
Well, Theresa May announced very recently that she set the target of us having zero net carbon emissions by 2050.
Yeah, but she also said that she was going to deal with Brexit and then resigned.
All right, Cory.
Oh, look, I've given it three goes. I'm done.
I tried three times. Do you guys know what the best way to stop climate change is? For us. Just in our daily lives.
Reduce carbon. In the atmosphere.
It's them plastic straws, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the plastic straws. Get rid of them.
Get rid of them.
In our everyday lives, it would be get rid of your car.
Well, that would help, yes.
Oh, cut out meat.
Cut out meat and dairy.
Wow, plug the veganism.
Oh, plug the veganism.
Yeah.
Actually, get an electric car, though.
Meat and dairy is
I knew
more,
that was a big one.
Yeah, it's more than the entire transportation system, including planes and trucks and boats and everything combined.
Because, to be fair, that is because when you take into account meat and dairy, you've also got to take into account the transport of it and raising them.
And the cow farts.
Yeah.
Cow farts are the worst. In fact, beef is... I've got a little graph here. Beef is worse than any other food by quite some margin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in all fairness, although I am vegan and would love the opportunity to promote that, it is actually mostly beef and milk, I think, which is the worst.
Oh, yeah. The thing is, cutting it out entirely, is if you can do it, something you should consider. But if you don't want to do that, cut out a couple days a week, and it will have a big impact. And also, you won't die in
just
a
reducing your
fiery storm.
Overall,
just reduce your carbon footprint.
Basically, yeah.
Use less plastic.
Don't put your carbon foot on the floor.
And also, electric cars. Don't get them. Don't buy an electric car. Why would you do that?
Yeah, that's a funny one, because it's like, although it's better once you've got the car, actually making the car
is really bad.
It's like
someone's like, yeah, so someone's like, I'm getting rid of my SUV. I'm gonna get an electric car.
It is true. Although there is a very good, it's something I've learned about recently. It's a very good reason why electric cars are better for the world in general, which is that right now, the oil industry has a monopoly over our transport. And so it's very difficult. We're operating in a capitalist environment where there is no competition to the oil industry. And so when you diversify the source of power for your car, then all of those industries have to compete and prices lower. And also you get more efficiency. So right now there's no alternative to petrol if you want to drive a car. And so the oil industry has a monopoly over the world's transport. Whereas if everything becomes electric, then you can use gas, you can use wind, you can use solar, you can use anything, and it makes the world a much better place, even if it's not because of the carbon footprint reasons.
Why they can just raise and lower the prices whenever they want as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
It just fluctuates, not due to necessarily supply and demand, but...
Sort of.
I mean, it does, but based on other factors as well.
who are... Like, if one... Like, there's a really good thing where if Saudi Arabia, for example, has loads of cheap oil, decides they want to screw over American companies, they could just lower the price of oil so that all the American companies go bankrupt. That's one of the reasons why Saudi Arabia has such power over the West. It's because they've got all the oil. And so they can just destroy... If they wanted to, they could probably just destroy our economy by stopping giving us oil.
And that's why Bush did 9/11.
No.
For the oil.
Well, I'm not going to say that's not true. I'm not going to make a comment. But I wouldn't say that Bush did 9/11 because the Saudi Arabians could change the price of oil.
Have you guys heard of Earth Overshoot Day?
No.
No.
Wait, is this the day when we made more green energy than we consumed energy?
Oh, I wish it was that.
It was a good day.
I really wish
parties
it was that.
Parties in the street.
It's the exact opposite of that. It's the day of the year when we use up more resources than the Earth can replenish.
Oh.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Has it come yet?
Oh, boy. Not yet. I mean, it gets earlier every year. I think last year it was September. When do you think it was this year?
April.
It was July.
Okay.
I mean, it wasn't July. Not yet. It will be July.
Because July hasn't happened yet, has it?
It is. It's the 29th of July, and that's the point at which...
That's basically August. We're doing all right.
I mean, it should
There's
be.
There's a 1 month, a more than a 1 month jump in a year.
Yeah, which is pretty messed up. We're kind of destroying our planet.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not, and you're not.
Well, I am a little bit. Well, you don't see me. I go out and do bonfires every night.
I don't mean to. I'm not doing it deliberately, whereas there are people who are doing it deliberately, which is not very nice.
Yeah, that's mental to me, the people that are climate change deniers to the point of actively just destroying the planet.
Yeah.
Because they think they
can. Well, if it does exist, I'm
gonna... Although, I think there is a really interesting alternative view on this. There was a thing that I think Jack Harries did, who's a YouTuber, where he posted it, where a bunch of people went up to people outside of a petrol conference going, are you aware that you're destroying the environment? All the stuff, right? Fair enough. These are like the most rich people in the world and they're gathering at a conference about oil. But they were going over to them with cameras made of plastic, microphones made of plastic. They probably got there in a car or a tube. And so it's like, while I agree with that kind of thing to a certain extent, like you're literally holding a product of the oil industry. If anything you have is made of plastic, you are relying on oil.
Is this was with Extinction Rebellion.
Yeah,
right?
I think so, yeah.
The thing is, the issue with that being that we're stuck in a society that forces us to use those things.
I wouldn't say forces you to use them. It doesn't force
cutting,
you to use them.
Cutting plastic out of your life is very difficult.
Oh, sure, yeah, yeah. What I meant is that it's very tempting when we have these horrible things happening in our world to go and find the people you think are responsible and point at them and go, you're doing this thing wrong. But if you're also holding products made of plastic, which you purchased and you like to use, then before you go and accuse other people of being wrong, you should also change yourself as much as you possibly can. And they probably have. But in general, I think that we live in a society where people like to just point at other people and go, you're the problem, when actually we're all the problem. And that's what I think you were touching on there, is that, yeah, we live in a society where using plastic is very difficult to avoid. But we still do it. Like, it's not impossible. You could go and get your food from the market in paper bags or in no bags. And we all make choices that mean that we do still use plastic. Even if it's more difficult, we are addicted to comfort and we're addicted to...
Convenience,
exactly. And so, yes, it is. It makes it difficult, but it's still easier than, say, hunter-gathering.
But as a counterpoint,
yeah,
going to a market to buy fresh food costs a lot of money.
No, it doesn't. There'll be a market to buy fresh fruit, like within walking distance from most people.
But you need to buy more than just fresh fruit.
Mm-hmm.
You need to buy lots of things, and the issue is that doing that isn't something that can fit into most people's lifestyles. If it was so accessible, more people would be doing it. But what you find is that it's a lot of people that already have kind of comfort that are able to do these things. I'm sure if you look at a lot of people that were in extinction...
We all have comfort in this country, like comparatively to the rest of the world. Yeah. Like we all have an awful lot of comfort.
Absolutely.
Other than like very, very few people on the poverty line. We all have, like look at your room, Corey. Look how much stuff you have.
Which is why,
you've got so much. You've got like 50 coats over there.
And
I don't mean to target you. I just mean that all I'm trying to say is that I think that the idea of going out and just pointing at other people and going, you're the problem, is not going to actually solve anything. The only thing that's going to solve anything is if you go and look at yourself and go, how could I do as much as I can do? Yes, you can't do everything, but how can I do as much as I possibly can?
I think that I agree with you in that you need to change yourself, but I think that also pointing at the people that are doing the most wrong...
But they're not going to change because they already know they're doing wrong. They don't care.
Yeah, but the point is that it's not just helping, it's not just making them change. It's making everyone else realize how bad they are in the first place.
But you don't have to hold up an oil industry executive to do that. You can just go, look how bad plastic is, maybe use less of it. I don't think that an oil industry executive really cares what you think of him. What he cares about is money. And so the way to change that is to change where the money is. And right now all the money's in plastic because we're buying all the plastic stuff.
Mm.
If we go and buy vegan food, as you've seen over the last few years, since when I became vegan like 6 years ago, there was no vegan food. And then in 6 years... there is so much vegan food, and like Subway has got bus adverts going, come to Subway for the vegan food. Like now the money has shifted. The money is in vegan food and all the companies going, oh, I'm vegan too. I've always been vegan. Now you have Subway.
Like Greg's. Greg's decided that he was vegan the whole time.
Exactly.
When I left Australia in 2017, there was like, veganism wasn't really talked about ever. There's not many vegan products. And then I went back last Christmas. There was like vegan restaurants. There was vegan breakfast places. There was a lot more vegan stuff on the shelves and stuff.
You do need to, in this kind of capitalist society, you need to vote with your money.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think that there's also a case to be made for getting the message out to more people. And I think stunts like that, that's more of the point. That's the point of it, rather than getting one person to change. It's a stunt to get the message out there.
We're talking about it now.
We are. It works.
It's raising awareness.
Well done, Jack. Or Finn. I don't know which one
it was. It wasn't Jack. It was a girl who did it, but he shared it. I'm not saying it's bad. I just think there's more direct ways you can change yourself before shouting.
No, fair enough. I think that you need to
change
yourself.
Jack probably has. I think Jack's probably done all these things, and probably all the members of Extinction Rebellion are probably better than all of us by many, many degrees. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Back to Boaty McBoatface then, I suppose. So Boaty had a 3-day mission, and he travelled 112 miles through mountainous underwater valleys.
Good on him.
Didn't know those existed. Underwater mountains? No?
If I'm imagining them.
Not
right,
doing
then,
anything
yeah.
for you?
Mountains?
No,
yeah.
I just didn't know they existed.
There's mountains underwater.
Yeah. So this little boat was traveling under there. He measured the temperature, salinity, and turbulence of the water at the bottom of the ocean down to 4,000 meters, which is pretty much his operating capacity.
Thought it was 6,000.
No, that's as far away as he can get, is it not?
No, he can get 2,000 kilometers away.
Oh, I don't know the numbers, Luke. I'm sorry. 2,000 meters away from his operating capacity.
Yeah.
They should have got him lower.
He should have.
What Boaty found is not very good. It's not very heartening.
What did he find?
He found that...
We're all dying, slowly.
Yes, there's a new thing that's happening in the water that we hadn't really accounted for. Essentially, there's increased turbulence at the bottom of the ocean caused by water being colder down there.
Convection currents.
Yep, which makes it mix with the hot water.
Makes it spin around.
More, which heats up more of the water. Yeah, causing it to heat the oceans. And make sea levels rise. It's just really not good, to
so
be
the
honest.
The ocean is slowly brewing.
The
fish soup.
We're going to be a giant cup of tea.
So there's a hole in the ozone layer above the Antarctic.
What? How did that get there?
Us.
Well, but what I mean by that is, like, usually you get a hole in the ozone layer above where Australia. There's a lot of, like, yeah, above Australia, where there's a lot of, like, pollution. Mm-hmm. But there's not a lot of stuff going on in the Antarctic. So why is there a hole in the ozone over there?
I think it's just the general kind of depletion of the ozone layer due to human activity.
Ah.
Because it does affect us on a global scale. Yeah, you can have a hole in the ozone just above Australia because they're terrible people. But it can just affect globally. And obviously that's quite an environment that's not used to change. Just a little tip and it can fall. So this hole in the ozone is causing increased winds, which cools down the water below it. Just really messing up the planet. And this is something that we didn't know before. So we now need to factor into our calculations.
Wait, why does winds cooling down the ocean, why is that a bad thing? Because I thought heating the ocean was the problem.
This is really difficult stuff.
Yeah.
In that it's not difficult, it just doesn't make sense in the way you think about it, because obviously we have a very simplified view of how that kind of weather and water interacts. Essentially, the hole in the ozone layer above the Antarctic cools the water that's deep down through the wind.
And that causes the convection current, which causes the mixing, them to rub against each other, which generates heat, which then raises the overall temperature of the water, which melts the ice caps and makes the water level rise.
Yeah, so if you mix the water more, then more of the water gets warmer.
Melted. Yes, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So it's the mixing that's the issue, it's the turbulence.
Yeah.
And actually, fun fact, Boaty McBoatface was name-dropped in the article about this.
About Boaty McBoatface?
Yeah, about Boaty McBoatface. I mean, I don't know if it's his official name, but the fact that Boaty McBoatface is in a published scientific article.
I don't think many people know him as Sir David Attenborough.
No, he's definitely Sir Boaty McBoatface. Sir Boaty McBoatface.
This is Sub Boaty McBoatface.
the sub.
Sub.
Not the sub, but the submarine Boaty McBoatface. The autonomous underwater vessel.
Okay. Yeah. Please refer to it as the autonomous underwater vessel.
No, he's referred to as Boaty McBoatface.
Okay, I thought he was Junior, though.
Oh, Boaty McBoatface Jr. is called Boaty McBoatface Jr.
Better.
So in the future, Boaty is supposed to be attempting to do the first ever crossing of the Arctic Ocean under ice.
Cool. So he's going to go deep under where the ice is and then travel underneath where the ice is, where it's still water.
Which doesn't really sound like a research thing. It sounds more like someone swimming the English Channel.
It sounds like what I do in a pool, where I try and hold my breath and get to each end.
Luke has this thing in a pool where he thinks he'll just sink. But you do just sink.
I don't float, yeah.
Yeah, you weigh about the same as water.
I've always sunk. It's always been weird. Everyone floats and I just sink to the bottom and just like lie on the floor.
Yeah, I've always sunk. Oh, that's a shame. Why do you think that is?
I'm not heavy enough. I have no mass. And so I don't have enough up thrust. I'm not buoyant enough. So like normally people have like an amount of fat on their body, which means that their overall density is... Whereas I'm just like scrawny bone thing. And so I sink.
You just sink.
Yeah.
Like a bag of lead.
Yes, just like a bag of lead. When you take your bag of lead down to the pool, me and it will
drop
sink to
my
the
bag of lead into the pool.
Just like Boaty McBoatface when he sinks to go under the Arctic ice.
Indeed.
And that's it for today. I hope
is that it?
It genuinely
is.
That's the
whole thing.
That's the whole thing.
Oh, wow.
I mean, he only came about 3 years ago, so he's not got much that he's done. But in the future, they do want to use him to find out more about climate change and how it's affecting our world.
We should have an updated episode when he...
We should.
When he completes his mission.
This is not the last we've heard of Boaty McBoatface.
Wait, I'm so confused as to which one we're talking about.
It doesn't really matter.
The autonomous the autonomous underwater...
That's Boaty McBoatface Jr.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I said.
I'm going to be honest. I genuinely forgot that I'd said that. That was just something...
Pay attention, Corey, to yourself.
It was a joke that he didn't follow one.
Yeah, you guys don't remember what I've said in any previous episode.
I honestly was riled up from the start of this episode when you talked about how David Attenborough came fifth. I was so mad. Well, I didn't know about that. I only thought he came second. I was so... All right.
No, David Attenborough was actually quite happy with the name.
You have reinforced my hatred of science.
It's democracy you should hate.
No, because it was democracy by scientists.
No, but it wasn't just that. It was also... Everyone else had a bit of a hand in it. There were meetings and committees.
At the end of the day, there will have been like one or a few people who had the power to make that decision, and they didn't make the right one.
Thanks for listening. You can find the full references for this episode in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Monday, and why not leave us a nice wee review? Find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, or send us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com. You can follow me at Not Corey everywhere.
You can follow me at Lukey McLukeface. No, you can't. Luke Cutforth.
You can follow me at Jampkin.
Not Jampface.
Jampface.